Trust me.
Brian, Zach.
Curious,
LeSean McCoy. I know he's the top rusher in the league. Would you like to see more north-south running after the way he ran the other day?
We just talk about production. You know, there's certain plays. Depends on how we call them. You know, we could be calling sweep plays, but obviously what was necessary on Sunday was downhill runs, but I don't want him running north-south if we have a sweep play called.
So. As far as how Earl Wolfe responds to yesterday's practice, have you talked to him today just to see how it felt? Or
no, I haven't. We'll get him when we get on the field.
Chip, yesterday at practice, I really heard you playing the Vikings horn. Is that to kind of desensitize them?
I have no idea what that is. I literally have nothing to do with the music. I thought it was the horn from Anchorman, so. Remember when he asked for his guys, right? And they were all standing right next to him?
That's what, that thing like crazy.
Yeah, I conch shell. Yeah, I went conch shell. I have no idea. Our guy TJ does all that, so I'm not concerned with it.
With LeSean, his numbers are better each quarter. First, second, third, fourth quarter. How much of that do you think is him getting stronger or staying strong in the O-line, maybe wearing the defense down?
Very good question. I think it's a combination of all that. You know, I think there is a cumulative effect as the game goes along. I also think it's, you know, your guys up front have to continue to do what they're doing. You know, at times it doesn't matter how strong the running back is. If we're not strong up front, we're not going to get any initial push at the line of scrimmage. Therefore, it's going to be a little bit difficult. So it is a combination of both of that.
How tough do you think he is to defend against? I mean, he can catch the ball. He obviously can run the ball. If you're on the other team trying to stop this guy, how tough does he make it for other
teams? He's a tough matchup. You know, I think because you can use him in the passing game. He does have really good hands. He can run routes. You know, we had a big play for us in the Chargers game on just a short little 3 or 4 yard option route that he turned into a 60-yard gain down the goal line. So he is a tough matchup. You know, and some guys are more, you know, they're just runners, or other guys are really good receivers out of the backfield, but I think he's a combination of both.
You talked about Brent Celek's block and the other tight ends' blocking ability, and a lot of times they're asked to block guys that are bigger than them, defensive ends. Mm-hmm. How do they offset that size?
I think Ted and Justin do a great job with them from a technique standpoint. I think that's the one thing about Brent is he's always working at his craft. So when you do get matched up with someone bigger than you, you know, it's not just a battle of brute force. It's really the technique and the leverage of that he's using. You know, and I think one of the things that really kind of went unsaid on Sunday was just the fundamentals of how our offensive line executed is that when you look at our productive runs, we were pad under pad. You know, there was a lot of leverage involved in what we're doing, and guys really – it got back to a fundamental game on Sunday. The same thing with our defensive line in terms of their technique. So it's it is a very technical position, especially, like you said, that matchup, because some of the defensive ends are bigger than Brent. So he's got to be really good at the technical part, and he is. That's one of his strengths. So
how important is on that? A lot of times your tight end will handle the backside block at the end, mm-hmm. but the running play is going the other way. But how important is it that they seal that guy? Have you had?
It's huge, just because a lot of our plays are cutback plays. So you know, if the defense is flowing and we get them moving in one direction, LeSean has the ability, or Bryce or Chris, to cut the ball back. But that means, you know, really what didn't start as the point of the attack ends up being the point of the attack as that ball gets washed.
You get worried about a letdown game in this kind of spot. Is there anything in the structure of the program that kind of prevents?
I mean, we're just a one-week operation. So, you know, I literally was thinking of the Vikings game running off the field on Sunday. So, you know, it's what's our next opportunity to go out and see where we are as a team. And you know, that's what this deal's all about. I think the teams that are mentally tough can work their way through it, and I think we got a mentally tough group. So
probably Cooper is second in the NFL in yards per catch. I don't know. I guess people thought that maybe he couldn't stretch the field. And
people or you?
I didn't. No, I shouldn't have used that. You're right. I've heard that before.
I've heard that before too.
Why? Because he's a bigger guy, and you know, why has he done so well stretching?
One of the things Riley is, and he's got a great bait. Great background in baseball. He does an unbelievable job of tracking the ball while it's in the air, and I think a lot of that can be he's got some background of being an outfielder. That catch he made on the post route, he just did a great job tracking the ball, and he's very, very good at tracking deep balls, and I think that's a real skill that he has that, you know, when you watch him every day in practice, you can see him. He can adjust to the thrown ball, and it's not an easy thing. You know, sometimes it's got to be a great pass. by the quarterback for it to be a successful play. I think with Riley, you can miss him a little bit, but because of his ability to adjust to the thrown ball in the air, it's really one of his strengths, and I think, you know, kind of separates him from some other people.
Sometimes there's players, and especially quarterbacks, get caught up in themselves and their own success. You may not have had that in college, but it happens in the pros that we've been looking at the guy in Washington. But it doesn't happen with Nick. And what is it about him that you may notice or you can tell us, well, why it doesn't happen with Nick?
You know, I just think Nick's a great teammate, and he's a very, very unselfish player. And I think what he realizes and what everybody realizes is that for you to be successful, you need the people around you. And it's everybody contributing to the common goal. And I think, you know, that's kind of pervasive throughout our team now. And I think our guys understand that it is the team. You know, when someone sees you and says, hey, you play, you know, they ask you what your record is. They don't ask you what your individual statistics are. And we don't spend a lot of time, nor do we ever talk about individual statistics or individual awards.
There's something.
I mean, there is. I mean, he's a very unselfish person. And I think that's when, you know, it's noticeable when you first meet him. And I think he understands where he fits. Obviously, being a quarterback in this game, it's a different position than maybe any other sport. But to be ultimately successful, you have to make the players around you better, and I think Nick has that quality.
During that time, the Vikings, as soon as you were coming off the field, have you given yourself a second to even enjoy that game and what your guys did on that field that day?
Yeah, I enjoy the process. I'm not a results guy. I mean, I enjoyed the game. I enjoyed our energy. I enjoyed our enthusiasm. I enjoyed pregame. I enjoyed how the game was going on. But then what's the next step? You know, we did that. Let's go on. Let's win. You know, let's see what the next challenge and the next opportunity is for us. But I don't think life has a rearview mirror, you know, so I'm not a big guy that looks back. I always look forward. So I do that from that's just a personal standpoint. I want to know what the next challenge is. The next challenge is a really good Vikings team, and that's what excites me. So I don't spend a lot of time looking back at what happened yesterday, the day before, all those other things. That's just the way kind of we're wired. So
Marty used to give himself till Sunday, and I think at the end of the night, he was famous for all of a sudden starting to think about the next day, because you start thinking about the next game. You don't even give yourself Sunday to enjoy it.
There's nothing to give myself. I mean, I didn't do anything. So this is what I do. I love coaching. And so, coach, what's the next opportunity to coach? So
During halftime, what's your
sorry in a cutoff. I like that.
What's your process for deciding on adjustments, and how do you relay those to the team before they come out in the third?
We meet as a staff each side of the ball for about 4 to 5 minutes and go over the necessary adjustments to implement both offensively and defensively. And then, you know, once we agree on them as a group, hey, we're going to do this, this, and this, everybody gets to their individual position guys and goes over what they're going to go over.
I guess getting back to Jeff's question about Riley and the deep balls, I mean, there's a conventional wisdom that it's pure speed is what creates those plays. But, I mean, obviously there's other factors. Riley's ability to, like you said, track the ball, is that kind of maybe, not that he's slow, but does that overcome maybe that he doesn't have world-class sprinter speed?
Yeah, I just think that conventional wisdom is that speed isn't the factor, because if it was, then whoever the fastest guy in the NFL would catch the most deep balls. It's not that. I mean, there's a lot more to it. You know, this isn't a track meet, so it's who has the ability, and Deshaun has a great ability to do it too. And even though Deshaun has the speed element, but you know, there's a lot of fast guys that run down the field, but when the ball's not thrown directly to them, they can't adjust to it. You know, they're straight line guys that can't veer off course. And I think the ability to adjust to the ball, the ability to understand leverage of the defensive player, the ability that Riley has of being big enough not to get knocked off track when, you know, obviously the defensive player knows where the ball's going to, but your ability to hold that line is a huge component to it. So it's more than just a speed factor.
With Chris Polk, did you notice something like when you were coaching against him, you know, at Oregon, he was at Washington, that made you think that like he would fit in this offense? I mean, obviously you didn't know you'd have.
I think they fit in every offense. I mean, everybody needs to run, be a physical football player, get your shoulder squared up to the line of scrimmage. So what we do offensively isn't different than what Minnesota does offensively. And the one thing I knew about Chris is he was just a tough, hard-nosed, physical football player. I mean, he had 1,000 – I'm not exaggerating, but, I mean, he had like 1,000 carries in college. He was the workhorse for the University of Washington. They just ran him, and he kept getting stronger and stronger as the game went along. You know, he was always the game – guys, when you played Washington, you had a game plan for Chris Polk because he was the feature back there. So.
In the past nine games, there's a clear difference with the way the defense is playing. Did you see anything in that Broncos game that gave you optimism that this could happen afterwards?
Yeah, I've had optimism on our, and so did Billy, and I think we both expressed that since the beginning of the year. I thought we had enough talent on the defensive side of the ball to be good, and it was just a matter of everybody getting an understanding of what we're trying to do. So I was confident in this group coming out of camp. I was confident. I've been confident with them all along, and I think it's showing.
Nick was on the cover of Sports Illustrated. He's been getting all this national attention. Doesn't seem like a guy who necessarily wants attention on him. How's he been handling that?
Great. I mean, I didn't talk to him about the Sports Illustrated thing because I just found out about it. But, I don't worry about Nick from any aspect like that. He's a team guy and understands what our focus is on the Vikings, and I know Nick's focus is